Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the latest episode of the Gov Talk Podcast. We got another preview for you guys as the Govs get set to take on Eastern Kentucky this weekend. The Eastern Kentucky Colonels entering the game. Austin Peay will be 4-2, 2-1 in the UAC. Eastern Kentucky will be 2-3, 0-1 in the UAC. And it's set to kick off at 5 p.m. from Roy Kidd Stadium in Richmond, Kentucky. Chris, how's it going today, buddy?
It's going. Rivalry weekend for the Govs.
Yeah, so this is one of the schools that we hate, obviously. This is always a tense, emotional matchups. And it should be interesting. So, funny enough, Eastern Kentucky is kind of underperforming relative to preseason expectations. They were predicted to finish above us, and they're actually have not looked very good at all. So, that with that being said, though, we know the history of Eastern Kentucky has not been very good for the Govs traditionally. So, but that doesn't matter because we're going to talk about this matchup. So for this matchup, the Govs give you a little rankings update. The Govs are 16th in the Stats Perform FCS poll and 15th in the AFCA poll. So you beat a ranked team by double digits, you get to go up in the rankings. So obviously Eastern Kentucky's not ranked. So inside the series, this will be the 57th meeting all time between EKU and Austin Peay, and it has been very one-sided. As I said, Eastern Kentucky leads the series 48-8. So I didn't realize it was that one-sided, but yeah. So the last meeting was last year in 2024. Eastern Kentucky won in overtime in one of the most infuriating games I've ever witnessed. 30-27. I mean, I was at that game. I was pissed off. It was bad. They should have won that game. I think they had like a 2-score lead. 24-7 lead.
Yeah,
that was bad. That wasn't good. So that was last year, though, like I said. And if the Govs win this weekend, it'll be the Govs' fifth or eighth 5-2 start or better in program history, and the first since back-to-back 5-2 starts in 2022 and 2023. And if we win, it will be the first. It will be 4-1 in our last five trips to Richmond, Kentucky. So the series has been going our way recently. And then, also with a win, Austin Peay would improve to 5-3 against EKU since 2017. Which is more wins than the Govs had in the first 57 years of the series.
You know that has to infuriate some old-school EKU fans right there.
Yeah, well, hopefully they get real mad this weekend too because I don't think the tide's turning back. Going by the numbers real quick, one number is 4. Chris Parson has now rushed for a touchdown in 4 straight games. He's the first Gov to run for a touchdown in 4 straight games since Javon Jackson did so in 5 straight games from September 16th to October 21st in 2023. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Chris is not only getting it done through the air, he's getting it done on the ground as well. You'd love to see it. And then another number, 96.3. That is not a radio station. That is what the Govs are allowing on the ground. 96.3 yards a game. 4 teams that have played the Govs this year have been held under 100 rushing yards, and the Govs have not let any single player get more than 70 yards in a game. So pretty impressive.
That's very impressive. Yeah, that's what are they, top? I think they're top five or top 10 in FCS, yeah, FCS, I believe.
Yeah, not just the UAC. Yeah. Yeah. Which there's some good running backs we're going to be playing pretty much the rest of the way. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. And then the Will Hardrick player of the week, Cortland Simmons wore it last week, and Jaden Robinson's wearing it this week. So, again, I think we might have been onto something, Chris. I still don't have it confirmed, but, I mean, Jaden Robinson had a career game last week, and he's wearing the number this week.
Yep.
I don't know. I think we might have been onto something there.
That sounds like what they're doing. I mean, just going by paper. Yeah, you have a great day, you get rewarded to wear Will's number. So I think that's a great way to honor him.
Sure. All right. So now let's get into some stat breakdowns. So on offense, Eastern Kentucky has been atrocious. I think that's fair to say. If you look at the notes, Eastern Kentucky ranks last in the UAC in scoring, last in total offense, last in rushing offense, and last in passing offense. So they suck at everything on offense. I think that's fair to say. They do have preseason all UAC running back Braden Latham. He has 281 yards and a touchdown so far. And they also had a preseason all UAC wide receiver, Marcus Cowise Jr., who's done nothing because their quarterback cannot throw the ball. So, you know, that'll tend to hurt the wide receiver's numbers. I gave West Georgia's quarterback a lot of crap last week because I said he was check down Charlie, which he is. But he looks like prime Joe Montana compared to Eastern Kentucky's quarterback. So that'll be interesting. On defense, though, Eastern Kentucky's legit. So they're second in the UAC in passing defense, fourth in total defense, fourth in rushing defense, and fifth in scoring defense. So they're top half of the league in every defensive category, pretty much. They also rank fourth in the entire FCS with 12 turnovers. So they get it. That's why they've been able to win a couple games, because they force a lot of turnovers and their defense is pretty stout. Player to watch, they actually have a defensive back who played at Kentucky and Colorado, Vito Tisdale. He is their best player on defense. He had a pick six against Louisville. He's tied for that UAC lead in interceptions with 3. And he is 9th in the FCS in interceptions per game and 12th in pass defenses per game. So solid player in the back end there you got to watch out for. When you look at the stat comparison, it's pretty clearly one-sided in most ways. Austin Peay is dominant. I mean, Chris, are you looking at this too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable.
So total offense, Austin Peay's averaging 439.7 yards per game. How many is Eastern Kentucky averaging, Chris?
219.2 yards.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not very good. That's not anemic. That's not going to win you a lot of games.
That's anemic. Rushing offense. So they are very. We talk about West Georgia being run heavy. Eastern Kentucky is run dependent. Austin Peay averages 184.7 yards per game on the ground. Eastern averages 115, but they average more on the ground than they average through the air. So I tell you, this is the worst passing attack in the country. Maybe, I mean, they're averaging 104.2 yards per game, but that's misleading because I wrote a note about this. That's a misleading stat. Because he had one game, Miles Burkett is their quarterback. He had one game where he threw for 203 yards, and that's an outlier because his other games he's thrown for – are you ready for this, Chris? This is how many yards their quarterback has thrown for in each game. 76, 79, 13, 203, and 72.
13. Wow. That I'm gonna
against Marshall.
guess that was gonna be my guess was Marshall.
Which, by the way, Marshall was not a very good team either. And
Unfortunately.
I love Marshall. Like, I have a lot of Marshall friends and obviously Gerald. But they're not exactly, you know, Georgia, and they dominated. So, yeah, I mean, Eastern Kentucky struggles on offense, like we said. I don't want to beat that too bad. There's a couple categories where Austin Peay leads the conference. That would be passing offense. So Austin Peay actually has the best passing offense in the league, 255 yards per game. The best total defense, averaging under 300 yards per game. The best red zone offense. The best punt return average. The best or most time of possession. And the fewest tackles for loss allowed. So – pretty important stuff to lead in.
Yeah, they're making them I forgot what I was gonna say now. I'm sorry. My mind's going blank.
So scoring defense. I did want to give EKU some flowers. So their passing defense is a little bit better than Austin Peay's. They're averaging under 200 passing yards per game allowed. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's definitely something to keep an eye on because Chris has been going ham.
I guess I'm just kind of mind blown on these stats from an EKU standpoint because
– like how do they have a single win?
I mean, because they're coming off of, you know, last season going to the playoffs and winning their last five games. So, you know, they ended the season on a pretty good note.
Yeah, they did. I mean,
so it's kind of mind blowing that it's kind of fallen this far.
I mean, you have to think that they lost a lot of people in the portal or something.
Yeah, that'd be my only thing. And I hadn't done my research, hadn't looked.
Well, because here's the thing. Last year when they played us, right, that Matt Morrissey was their quarterback, and he threw for 230 yards. You know, he had a pretty solid day. He had. And he's not there anymore. He was a transfer from Western Illinois. And then their starting running back was different too. They had Joshua Carter, who's also not there anymore. So, I mean, their skill position starters are different. Obviously, I mean, quarterback is a problem. I mean, I was being funny earlier, but, I mean, it legitimately is a problem. Like, they don't have a quarterback. It's kind of hard to win games when you do that. I mean –
yeah, it's just kind of surprising to me.
Like I said earlier, though, like they were projected to finish above us in the preseason poll. So I don't think even the coaches saw it coming, really. Yeah, it's interesting.
I'd say beyond West Georgia's success is this is probably the second biggest surprise, in my opinion.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, Central Arkansas being bad, but I don't know. I think everybody I think some people in the know didn't think they were going to be as good as they were. So if you look at the last meeting, I mean, we hit on it a little bit, but we got to talk about it a little bit more. I mean, Austin Peay had a huge lead at the half. And then completely just – it was the story of a lot of games last year. Come out hot, do pretty good. One bad thing snowballs into 12 bad things, and you can't do anything. In the second half, Austin Peay did not score a single point. And it went to overtime at 24-24. And then Austin Peay's first possession, they kicked a field goal, make it 27-24. And then Eastern Kentucky marched right down the field and ran it into the end zone. So
two plays. I remember that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing I remember is, you know, they were so dominant in the first half. And I think it was Copeland had a touchdown with, you know, less than a minute to go.
Yeah.
Before half. So, you know, they had all the momentum. Yeah, that was probably you know, Govs lost a lot of close games last year, but that probably would be the one disappointing one, big disappointing one.
I miss Copeland. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, JB is awesome. But imagine if we had Copeland too.
Well, that'd be crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, that game was super disappointing. It was, like I said, 17 unanswered points in the second half. Austin Smith had a pretty solid game, 23 of 35, 239 yards and two touchdowns. Jaden Barnes had one of his huge games, 8 catches for 131 yards and a touchdown. Jackson Head had a touchdown as well. So, there's that. Last five meetings. So, obviously, we just talked about last year, lost in overtime. So, I forgot about this. In 2023, we won in overtime. So that's two straight games decided by 3 points in overtime. Let's avoid overtime this year, guys.
Yeah, I remember going to that game a couple of years ago. That was it made for a very short ride home. But very, very entertaining game for sure.
And that was the second win in a row. The year 2022 that we won it as well, 31-20 in Clarksville. 2021, we lost 27-35 in Richmond, and then in 2019, we won in overtime in Richmond, 28-21. So
there's a funny story about that 2019 game, and former Gov Sean Whittinghill will probably agree, or he'll laugh at this, one of the two. But there was a certain call. I do recall this very well, but there was a certain call. They had to bring out the sticks, and it was one of those Steve Spurrier moments. Versus Michigan, where the ball was probably about an inch or two away from the stick, and they called it a first down.
Oh, interesting.
And
that seems like something that would happen to us.
Oh yeah, it was. Coach was Coach Hudspeth was. I don't know that he was as upset as Spurrier got, but he was pretty highly upset about it, as well as the players. And but they ended up winning that game, and ended up finishing, you know, making it to the quarterfinals that year. So,
and then, yeah, so two of the last three games in Richmond have been decided in overtime. So again, let's try to not do that. Let's have a stress-free. Last week was stress-free after like the first bit of the fourth quarter.
After the pick six.
Well, yeah.
After the pick six, I was good.
The last like 8 minutes. All right, so a fun little tidbit here. It's spooky season officially. It's October, so Austin Peay is 3-1 in October under Coach Ferris. So that's an interesting little tidbit, like because you know last year you only had 4 wins all year, and 2 of them were in October. So West Georgia this year is the third. So West Georgia last year, Utah Tech last year. Lost to Tarleton State and then beat West Georgia this year. So, October, Jeff Ferris likes October, obviously. Too deep time. Looks the same. The knock on wood, every piece of wood you have. The Govs have been remarkably healthy for the season, the midway point of the season. I mean, other than Stonebreaker missing a few games and Miles Wiley missing a game, it has been incredibly, like, the team's been incredibly healthy, which is great. So, doesn't look like there's anything to report there.
Yeah, that's, you know, shout out to the trainers, too. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, they've luckily have not hit their injury bug any this year. Of course, we still have half a year to go. So, y'all knock on any wood that you can find. But, yeah, guys have been relatively healthy all year long.
Yeah, so the offensive line, we mentioned last week how after Abilene, you know, the offensive line did not have its best day against Abilene. And they made a change where they put in Sutton on the left tack. From left to right, it was Sutton, Baugh, Curtin, Hilliard, Sales. And it had been Sales, Bowden, Curtin, Hilliard, Baugh. And the new line has performed admirably. I think it's been actually no complaints about the line over the last 2 weeks. So I would be surprised if they switch it back now. You know, I'm biased. Obviously, Eli's a friend of mine, but I think it's the line has been really good the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the same line that's gone for the last two, at least the last two games. So, you know, don't, you know.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. So,
they haven't changed it on. It's interesting because they haven't changed it on the two deep. But if you look at the starting lineups, they have gone that way. So,
yeah.
And then, oh, did you see the uniform reveal?
I have not, so let me take a guess. All whites?
Yeah.
I don't know how I knew that, but how did you know? I don't know. I honestly had not seen, so that was just a pure speculation.
So the last time we wore white was at Utah Tech last year. So Jeff Ferris is 1-0 in the whiteouts. So that's, you know, that's interesting. Here's a quick little trivia question for you, Chris. Do you know what uniform combo, what color combo Jeff Ferris has the worst record in?
Well, how many wins did we have at home last year?
One.
One. I'm going to go. Man, that's tough. I would say red and white, or red and red, one of the two. So I got to pick one.
So it's black, red, black.
Is it black? Okay.
Well, yeah. He's never won in black, red, black.
Well, I suggest we keep those in the closet.
All right.
But I just went by assumption with our home record last year that red would have been one of them. So,
right, yeah, the red jersey wasn't.
Yeah. But I do love the all whites, because I mean, I love when the Titans wear the all whites, and the all whites and all reds I think are the best. So I don't know when we've done the all reds before, but I know they have in the past.
Well, I can tell you. So red, we wore it against Moorhead.
Okay. Well, I won that. That explains that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So red, we won once in 2025. We're 1-2. So we wore it twice last year and lost both.
Yeah.
So interesting. We have some great uniforms, man.
The 931, the 931 helmets are insanely incredible. Nice. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
The 931, the TriStar helmets are yes. Awesome. We're 1-0 in those this year. So. Did you see Western? This is kind of off topic, but it's local. Did you see Western Kentucky's uniforms for this weekend?
I have not. Right. I know last year they debuted a helmet with the whatever that mascot is.
Yeah. So check your Twitter real quick. I'm gonna send this to the Sidelines Twitter and live react to this, because this is sick.
Well, send it to my. I don't say. I don't know if I can look it up.
Okay, hold on. I'll send it to Chris. Okay. Yep. I'll send it to Coach. There you go. Tell me that's not a pretty uniform.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that looks real. That's real nice.
Just the way that like matte black and the bright red. It just that's really clean. I'm a big fan of black and red. Can't tell.
Yeah, I still don't know what that look, what that mascot is, but
he's a red guy.
He's the red guy. But yeah, that is a cool helmet and cool, it's like good looking uniform.
You know, Grimace from McDonald's.
Yeah,
it's like the red version.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're gonna get into. We're going to get into some notes that I have about EKU, and then we'll talk about, you know, guys that you're expecting to have a big game for Austin Peay, keys to the game, stuff like that. So EKU notes, their last game. So I wanted to talk to you about this, Chris, because, you know, you look at it and you just see they beat Nichols 27-7, and you think, like, That's a pretty impressive win. Nichols knocked off Incarnate Word in the first game of the season. So you're probably thinking like, okay, EKU might actually be pretty good. Like, but okay, you have to dive into the box score for this. So EKU beat Nichols. And first of all, Nichols sucks. I thought that Nichols was good because I thought they were going to be good because they knocking off Incarnate Word is pretty impressive. I mean, Nichols was ranked after that. That was pretty impressive, right? They've proceeded to not win a game since.
I was going to say, so, I thought they opened the season in the top 25.
They did, and then they beat Incarnate, and they were ranked even higher, but they've done nothing but lose since then. They're 1-4 and 0-3, or actually, they're 1-5. They lost to Troy. They got killed by West Georgia, killed by Eastern Kentucky. They lost to Lamar, Texas State, and Troy. So Nichols is not a very good team. And if you look at the box score for here, Chris, you know what's hilarious? If I read you this, you would think that Eastern Kentucky got beat by 40 points. Miles Burkett for Eastern Kentucky completed 7 of 21 passes for 72 yards, and they won by 20 points. And the way that they did that is they turned the ball over. They forced 3 turnovers. And they rushed for 242 yards. Brady Hensley had 14 carries for 148 yards and a touch. Braden Latham had 15 carries for 88 yards. So they had a dual threat running back game going, and they forced a couple turnovers, and that was the difference. I mean, Nichols was just anemic. They couldn't do anything either. But I would love to know how many times – has a quarterback completed just 7 of 21 passes for 70 yards and won the game?
I'm going to say there's probably not too many.
I mean, that's just crazy. Like I was expecting it to be, you know, a normal stat line, like 16 of 20 for 240 yards. No, like 7 of 21. He completed a third of his passes, and they won by 20. Like, that's mind-blowing to me. And then if you look at the rest of their scores, this is EKU I'm talking about. So EKU lost to Louisville 51-17. Not going to hold that against them. Louisville's a good team. And we got killed by Louisville last year. So the second game of the season, they beat Houston Christian 20-10. Third game of the season, they got killed by Marshall 38-7. Fourth game, they got killed by West Georgia 33-12. And then they killed Nichols 27-7. So their two wins, Eastern Kentucky's two wins, are against Nichols and Houston Christian. Would you like to know what their combined record is?
I'm going to say Houston Christian is probably not either won one game or no games.
Yeah, Nichols and Houston Christian are combined 2-9. So take that for what you will. That's not exactly the most impressive resume.
I think something you can kind of take away from that is if it, you know, heaven forbid it's not, but if it just happens to be in a close game, Austin Peay has been in a couple of those, and they know how to handle that pressure. EKU, on the other hand, there's not been one close game in their schedule, whether it's gone their way or against or towards them. So I do like that in case it does happen to get close.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Like, all of their games have been blowouts one way or the other. And, you know, they might not have as much experience working on game management stuff, tempo stuff. So hopefully it doesn't come to that, though.
Yeah. I mean, I say the Guzz have had a couple close games. I mean, it was close last weekend for, you know, 2.5 quarters. To that pick six, and then of course Abilene, you know, have we not had the 2 turnovers, they went back and forth the entire second half. So
I mean, the middle game was close in the first, you know, like there was a time in there where the outcome was not certain. I mean, and like you said, Abilene, you know, mounting that ferocious comeback, it's killed by a stupid penalty. I mean, the final scores haven't been that close, but there's been a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
So we went over the stats. We went over the resume. What do you think are the keys for Austin Peay in this game?
Exploit their passing game. I mean, honestly, I mean, you probably arguably have one of the best quarterbacks in FCS in the conference. I would exploit that in a heartbeat. And then, you know, your defense, I mean, their offense is terrible. You know, I think their defense and guys like Wiley and Ellis Ellis are probably going to be licking their chops on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard for that quarterback to beat you. So I think if you take away the run, because they do have a couple solid running backs, they're capable of putting up some big numbers on the ground. So you continue, and that fits right into what the Govs like to do, because they have one of the best run defenses in the FCS. So if you stop the run, make this quarterback throw, you're going to be in for a good day.
Yeah,
and I think – you know, it would be nice to see Chris hit a couple of those bombs. We talked about it last week. His deep ball is beautiful. I mean, it feels like it is just perfectly placed.
Yeah, I think both of them last week were going the way we were facing the field. And, I mean, both times they went up, it looked like they were perfect. Into the receiver's hands. So, yeah, that's a good point.
I think if you get one of those on, like, the first drive of the game, that might be demoralizing for them, because a run first team like they're not built to come back from a big deficit. So I think if you can get 10, 14 points in the first quarter, I think you've got to feel really good about your chances.
Yeah. You know, and a couple other things that, you know, I kind of want to watch for is how they handle taking care of themselves with penalties and turnovers.
Right.
You know, that's going to be big.
Yeah, I mean, so I did notice that too. I forgot to mention it. On the stats, you have – so Austin Peay's averaging 8 penalties per game, which is not good. I mean, that's way too many. But EKU is averaging over 7 a game. So they have a penalty problem too. So the refs are going to really – their hands are going to be glued to the flags for this game. They know they have two heavily penalized teams going against each other. God.
Yes. Hopefully the Govs can limit that to, you know, if we're going by last week's game, limit that to half of what they had last week. That'd be, you know, 6 is, you know, a lot better. Looks a lot better compared to where they have been.
Right. I want to see if – so my – I don't want to go – I want to go something kind of different this week. So we went with – I've gone with Chris Parson a couple times because it's kind of a cop-out answer.
Yeah.
This week, I think – I want to see Maxwell have a big game. You know, last week, Jaden Robinson had a career game. Shamar Kirk's had a game with multiple scores. So let's get Maxwell or Garnett, either one of them.
That was going to be mine was Garnett.
See, because he has experience playing in Kentucky, so it's kind of like a homecoming of sorts.
Yeah.
Obviously playing at Moorhead last year, so.
Yeah, I think guys like him and Kirk are probably going to get a lot of touches this week. And Maxwell.
So, is there any – we've been pretty freaking spot on these predictions. Like, we've gotten pretty close. Now, you know, we've talked about how EKU's offense, they struggle scoring the ball. They struggle moving the ball, period. Their points, they have scored 17 points, 20 points, 7 points, 12 points, and 27. So they have not scored more than 27 points all year. And I have a hard time thinking they're going to do that against Austin Peay. So with that in mind, what is your score prediction for this weekend?
Well, I think we talked before we started this. I think we're 11.5 point favorite.
Yeah.
As of right now. Yeah. Man, I don't know. I, you know, and I also told you before, I said this You know, these last several games have been close, nail biters, overtimes. But man, I just think the Govs are just talent wise and team wise. I think they're just a far better team this year. I'll go 31-10.
Yeah, this will be the type of game where it'll tell us a lot. I mean, on the last episode, we kind of talked about it a little bit about whether this was a must win or not. I think it's definitely a game that will tell you a lot about this team. Is this team actually, like, are we going to beat who we should beat? Are we going to easily handle who we should easily handle? It's also a spot you don't want to overlook because, you know, everybody knows they have the bye week coming up.
Yep.
We got to finish strong. Can already be in vacay mode.
And it is worth noting that Eastern Kentucky just had their bye week, so they're fresh off a bye week.
Yeah, so they've had extra time to prepare for us. So, and they always do play us close. But with that being said, at the end of the day, the better athletes win. I think Austin Peay puts up 37. EKU puts up 13. I think it's a convincing win that shows everybody Austin Peay will be here to stay. And it'll just make everybody anticipate the Tarleton game to end the season even more. You don't want to count your chickens before they hatch, but looking at the rest of the schedule, I mean, you win against Eastern Kentucky, you get to 5-2. Everybody's going to start thinking, especially, which we'll talk about here in a second, if Abilene picks up another loss, then this becomes even more important.
Yeah, where is that loss going to come from, though?
Well, what'd you tell me before we started recording?
Yep. This weekend, so, potentially, yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about with our game?
Okay. No, not at all. Yeah.
Well, get us into the UAC play. Take us around the UAC.
2:00 Eastern is Abilene at West Georgia. I think that's probably the key game in the conference this weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game. And I did hear that Mr. Checkdown Charlie will be back this weekend.
Okay.
Potentially.
Well, that's good. I mean, I didn't want him to be hurt. That's good.
Yeah, well, it's also good for them because if I can't remember his name now, but the backup quarterback Sullivan situation, yeah. I would say I would lean towards Abilene heavily if that's the case. Because backup quarterback at West Georgia, unfortunately, is not very good.
Colton Fitzgerald, sorry. Yeah, that's it. You know, they definitely took a step back when he came in the game. I mean, Widmer can at least hit the wide open people, and he can do some plays with his legs. The backup is, I mean, I'm not going to trash on the kid, but there was a clear step down.
Yep.
That would be great to see. But yeah. Yep.
So I mean, honestly, what's the starting quarterback's name again? Is it Davin?
Davin Widmer.
Davin, if he starts, I mean, that's a toss up. It's a toss up game. Yeah, it's at Carlton. They're coming off a loss to us. They're hungry, you know, to avenge that. You know, I mean, I would go with West Georgia in this game. I think Abilene's a 5-point favorite too.
Yeah, I didn't. Ooh. If they're a 5-point favorite, I would definitely take that. Yeah. I don't think they'll lose by more than five. I would think they might outright win.
So the next game at 3:00 Central Arkansas at North Alabama. Bears versus the Lions. That's in Florence, Alabama.
That's a pivotal game for those two because they're both 1-4. And 0-1 in the UAC. So whoever loses that might as well pack it up.
Yeah. And then after that is our game, which if anybody is like me, potentially traveling to Richmond on Saturday, that is a 6 p.m. Eastern. So it'd be 5:00 our time.
Yeah. Are you going to go? Are you going to be able to go?
I still hadn't decided yet. So it might be driving my wife crazy. And then the last game of the weekend is Tarleton State at Utah Tech. Yeah, I just don't see, no offense to Utah Tech. I think they've taken some strides this year as a program. And I think that was pretty obvious a couple of weekends ago, in my opinion. They're not up to par with Tarleton State. So I think that'll be an easy win for Tarleton.
I feel bad for Utah Tech because they've been close and they are better than last year. The record doesn't really, show that, but they have been better. They're
Yeah,
just,
they're.
it's not translating to wins yet.
And all their wins, I mean, it's kind of similar to Austin Peay last year because, I mean, all their wins are close, with the exception of ours. I think all their games have been pretty close. And then,
Yeah,
so that.
I don't think this one will be, but
Yeah, no, unfortunately, I don't think it will be either. So, but that'll wrap up conference play for the weekend. Southern Utah is off. This weekend on the bye, and Govs will be on the bye next weekend before they play North Alabama. So we
well,
got
that's yeah.
2 weeks of hate week, North Alabama hate week.
So okay, at Southern Utah. Okay. Yep, so the next home game is 10:25. It's gonna be weird. You get spoiled, you have two home games in a row, and it's real fun, and then you got a couple week break. So yeah, like you said, I think the Abilene, West Georgia really has some big implications for us potentially. If Abilene wins, then it makes your loss not look as bad to them because, they're good. But if West Georgia wins, makes your win over West Georgia look even better, and it gives Abilene another loss, and you have the tiebreaker with West Georgia. So you're definitely rooting for a West Georgia win.
Yeah, and Abilene still has to play
Tarleton.
Tarleton as well. So, and I believe they still have to play. They go, so they're at West Georgia this weekend, and then next weekend they got to go to Southern Utah. So those
Yeah,
are two
traveling
back to
back. Awesome.
back. Yeah, that's two back to back weekends of traveling.
See, the problem is like they have, like Abilene has three losses, but none of them are conference losses. So.
Conference, yeah. That's a tough 3-game stretch. I mean, they do get a bye, but they got, like I said, they got West Georgia this weekend at Southern Utah next weekend. They get the bye, the weekend of our game with North Alabama, and
When you
then
play
they have
Southern Utah.
then they have Tarleton the same day we play at Southern Utah. So that's a tough 3-game stretch for them.
Yeah, they get rewarded though with a little soft landing. I mean, they get to end with three straight cupcakes.
Yeah,
But
but
that is a brutal stretch though. I mean,
yeah.
you have Southern Utah who's been like Utah Tech playing their asses off, and it just hasn't translated to wins. But that's not a game you're going to sleep through. And obviously, Tarleton's not a game you're going to sleep through. That's a game. So
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and assume. I mean, it's at Abilene, but Tarleton will be favored, I would have to assume.
Yeah. So I mean, these next three are, pretty big. With that being said, with Abilene having that tough stretch of 3 games, and guys have EKU, North Alabama, and Southern Utah. I mean, you could potentially gain a game or two on Abilene by the time November rolls around.
And what does West Georgia's schedule remaining look like? They
So
already no, they did not play Tarleton because they would have
no,
lost. Okay, so they don't. They play. Ooh, they play
at
Abilene and
Charleston.
Tarleton back to back,
Yep.
and they don't get their bye until November 1st. So that's a brutal stretch. Austin Peay, Abilene, and Tarleton back to back to back.
Yep. And the thing that sucks about West Georgia is regardless of what happens, of what they do in the conference, they can't go to the playoffs, which is stupid.
How long is that? Like,
It shouldn't be a thing, in my opinion, but I think it's 2 or 3 years,
so they
I
do that with
think.
basketball too, like with the tournament. I don't understand that. Like, if you're good enough to make it in your first or second year, what does it matter?
Yeah. I mean, Queens is, I think Queens last year was the last season was the first time they could compete in the playoffs in the ASUN tournament.
I just don't understand that.
Yeah. I don't think they did the year before, the year we went to the championship game. I think they still had another year and they were good that year, I think. So,
this is random, but you mentioned Queens. Did you see that Queens and Elon are becoming one school?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Hornets were playing a preseason game, in-game scrimmage there. I did see that. That's kind of random too, but no, I did not see that.
So I don't know how that's going to like affect things. But like Elon and Queens are becoming, they're merging. So Elon is like a name college like basketball yeah. fans might know. I don't know. That's something that came out about a month ago, and I don't know how that will impact like their respective conferences, and it's strange. You don't hear about college mergers a whole lot. But anyway, Tom, that's probably
just to clarify, we're talking about Elon University, not Elon Musk.
No, Elon Musk did not buy Queens yet.
Yet.
I wish Elon Musk would buy the Titans.
Yeah.
But anything that's else another, you want to get to before story. We get on?
No, I think Gov soccer played tonight against Central Arkansas. I think they were down 1-0 last I saw, but I think they scored an equalizer with 5 to go. So I'm going to safely, hopefully, assume that they ended that game in a tie. So they got some more points.
Let's see. Yeah, 1-1. Got another point.
Yep.
Well, that's good. I mean, 1 point is better than nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've gotten points in the last two games. So, you know, like we said on Sunday, hopefully that's some momentum. Going into the remainder of the season.
They have played better during conference play.
Yeah. And then our guy Roland reached out to me yesterday.
Yep, same here.
About the wild card game that was surprisingly shouldn't be the word, but last year it was absolutely packed. I mean, there was standing room only last year for that game, and it was a great game. It was fun. It was fun to watch.
Can you explain to anybody who didn't go last year, like what the wild card game is?
So it was basically, I think they did like red and black, I think, or red and white. It's basically intra-scrimmage, I think, is what it is.
Gotcha.
And I want to say they had some former players out there, but I can't remember. We'll have to dig into it. Maybe we can get Roland to hop on before that game happens. But yeah, it was very well attended last year. I do remember that.
Yeah. The first 500 fans get pizza. So the first 200 get free beer, and there's post game trick or treating for the kids. So that is October 29th, I think.
Right? Yes. October 29th. Yes, October 29th.
Gates open at 4:45. So me and Chris probably make an appearance, I would say.
Safe to say, yeah. October 29th is.
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Friday.
Wednesday, yeah. Yeah, I'll probably be there.
Well, sounds good. Everybody get out there. It'll be a fun time. You know, Roland always puts on a show. They had before the game last weekend, they did a scrimmage, and there was a good amount of people out there, too. So,
yeah.
Go support the team.
All right.
And basketball's coming up, too.
Yep. First scrimmage is a week from tomorrow at Southern Illinois.
Yep. And then there's the tip-off event, too, which is at the Milan Aviation Hangar, Clarksville Regional Airport, on October 23rd. You get to meet the team. Dinner is included. Be a good time. So a lot of big stuff coming up here soon.
that football going into basketball is always an exciting time, you know.
Busy time for us now.
Busy time for us and busy time for athletics. So, but looking forward to it.
All right, man. I think that about does it. We both predict a big win this weekend, and hopefully we'll have a happy post-game reaction show that we can do. And, yeah, get right to it. Let's go pee.
Let's go pee.
Hey, Govs fans. This is Dr. Kevin Kennedy, Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.